Introduce our main speaker for this evening, Don G from Ramona.
Good evening. I'm going to try that again. Good evening. My name is Dawn, and I am an alcoholic. Congratulations to Holly and to Jonathan and Jess. Congratulations and welcome to the newcomers. You're good. Just want you to know. Sorry, I had to take a minute. My sponsor tells me that no matter what I do, I invite God into it. So let's invite God into this. It's going to be funny to see what comes out of my mouth tonight. It's going to be a hoot. Sorry, for those of you that don't know, this is my very best friend sitting up in the front row, and she goes, it always is. Sam, thank you very much. I can't tell you my first drink. I can't tell you when it was. I can't tell you what it was, where it was. I don't know anything about that first drink. But here's what I do know to be factual. I was drinking alcoholically by the time I was 16 years old. I can't remember going to school without having a drink. I can't remember coming home from school and started my drinking. I just can't tell you. I just don't know. When I was young and in elementary school, I was short and fat, and I didn't fit in. I felt like an outcast. I felt like I should have belonged on that island of misfit toys. I would have been their president. I just didn't fit in. I never fit in anywhere I went. And then people found out that I was really good at sports. And then I fit in. But I'm still short and I'm fat, and people made fun of me. My maiden name was, here's some interesting news y'all might not know. My maiden name was Galen. G-E-H-L-E-N, pronounced G-A-Y-L-A-N. And I went to school in the early 70s. You all do the math on that one. I was called everything except my name. And it was humiliating. And then they found out that I have a learning disability, so I was considered retarded. I was literally in the retarded class until I was in seventh grade. Come to find out, I'm just extremely dyslexic. That's humiliating. It's awful. I just didn't fit in. And all I ever wanted to do was fit in. That's the only thing I ever wanted. I was invited to one of the popular people's party. And I remember sitting on the front porch with the popular guy, and he offered me a Michelob, and I drank it. It tasted like crap. But I wanted to say, well, that's who I drank with that night. And I remember feeling, as the beer was going down my throat, I remember that feeling sitting on the front porch with John, feeling, I made it. I have arrived. And then it continued. And I needed more. And I needed more. You see, I'm an alcoholic because of the effect that alcohol has on me. I can't tell you where I'm going to end up. I can't tell you what I'm going to say. I can't tell you what I'm going to do, who I'm going to do it with. I can't tell you anything once I start drinking. But what I can tell you is I never know where I'm going to be. It just progressed. And because I was drinking at such a young age, you see, I'm an alcoholic. Not because I was raised retarded. Not because mom and dad got divorced when I was 9. Not because dad stopped seeing us when I was 11. Not because I had to raise my brother and my sister. I'm not an alcoholic because that happened in my world. I'm an alcoholic because what happens is I put alcohol in my body and I don't know what's going to happen, and I can't live without it. It is something that is in my body. There's nothing I can do about that except to drink. To drink I'm very short. I'm only 5'5". When I drink, I'm 6'2". There's a guy in the back of the room, y'all can't see him, but he shook his head and I went, damn, I've arrived. I'm considered retarded. However, when I'm drunk, I'm going to tell you I'm Einstein. I'm going to be a runway model, and I'm going to be the smartest person you've ever met when I drink. I am none of those things. I am 5'5". I am 55 years old. I have gray hair, long nails, and I cuss like a sailor. That's who I am. On my 16th birthday, my mom was my drinking buddy. My mom would buy my alcohol. And on my 16th birthday, the best present I ever got, they call it a handle now, that's what I got for my 16th birthday, was a bottle of vodka from my mom. Because my mom and I would drink, and we would drink, and we would drink. She was my running buddy. We would sit out in front of the 7-Eleven in Chula Vista on 3rd and, or Broadway and K, Broadway and J, and that's where we drank. We did stuff that you probably ought not do with your mom. I did. Then things progressed. I was introduced to outside party favors, and I did those, and those quit working, so I went back to alcohol. God bless you. So here's what happened. I drank daily. That's all I knew to do. Mom was my drinking buddy. I don't know what time, what month, what day, I don't know what this happened, but here's what I remember. I came out of a blackout, and it was 1:46 in the morning, and I panicked because I didn't know if I could get to the liquor store to get more alcohol to get through the night. I panicked. I don't know what happened because I went back into a blackout. I don't know if I got the alcohol. I don't know what I did. I don't know where I went. Don't know what I did. That's the way my life was. And I just continued to do that. My mom got sober. Whatever. My mom got sober. And I really did believe that it was just another one of her fads. You people were a cult. I thought you guys were going to brainwash her. Whatever. She would be back to my drinking buddy in no time. That didn't happen. My mom is still sober to this day. That's, I can qualify as an alcoholic. That's what I did. I need to get sober. So it was December 2nd, 1989, and I went to work. It was a Saturday. My boss took us to Chewy's, me and my coworker. He ordered white wine with his scrambled eggs. I thought, bitchin', I get to drink. I ordered alcohol with whatever food it was that I decided to eat. We worked out on Harbor Drive, and we lived in Hamul. We drank. We went back to work. We tried to work. That didn't work so well. We went home. I don't know the drive from Harbor Drive to Hamul. Don't know. I ended up at the Greek Sombrero. Yes, that is a real place. Apparently, it's still there. I don't remember going there. I don't remember walking in. What I do remember is my last drink. They were drinking ouzo shots. If you've ever had ouzo, dear God, oh, I hate black licorice. But what they were doing, and I could drink just like them, and I was going to prove to them I could drink just like them. They were drinking ouzo shots. I don't know what they put on the top of that stuff, but they lit it on fire. They'd slam it, and then they'd slam it back, and you bet I drank just like them. Thanks, Rick. I don't know how I got home. But that was my last drink. I went home, and the only thing I knew to do was to call Mom. I walked down a very dark alley, and I was wearing a miniskirt, a white shirt, and white flat tennis shoes. I grabbed a yoga mat out of the back of my car only because it had a hidden pack of cigarettes in it because the boyfriend didn't like smoking. I walked down a very dark alley to the 7-Eleven, I don't even know what the name of the streets are, and I called Mom. Mom and her friend came to get me. They picked me up and they took me to Jimmy's in Chula Vista on E Street. I don't remember this, but this is what they told me. They took me there. I wouldn't eat. And I kept telling them, quit talking, because this is all about me. Sound like an alcoholic? Mom did the greatest thing that night. I had a yoga mat. She put the yoga mat at the end of her bed, and she said I could sleep on her floor. The next morning, she took me back to that restaurant. I don't remember eating. She bought me a carton of cigarettes, and she took me to a crisis home at the South Bay and dropped me off. And as close as I am to Tammy right this minute, the counselor asked me a bunch of questions. And all I remember is I was still in my white tennis shoes, my mini skirt, and my white shirt. And I had a teddy bear. Don't know where the hell that teddy bear came from. I just know I had a teddy bear. And she asked me this question. Have you had any alcohol in the last 24 hours? I reeked of alcohol. And I looked that woman dead in the eyes and I said, no. What does an alcoholic do? We lie. Not you, sorry. I lied. And they accepted me, and I was there for 14 days. I did not eat for the first 3 days because I couldn't. For some reason, I got to go on a field trip in the blue van. They took us to 7-Eleven, and I bought cottage cheese. Who in their right frickin' mind does that? No one. I bought cottage cheese, and apparently that's what I could eat, so that's what I ate. They took us on another field trip, and they took us to South Bay Pioneers. Oh, thank you. I heard all of that. And I can tell you what the speaker was wearing. I can tell you who it was, and I can tell you where I stood. I stood in the back corner back by the kitchen because I didn't want you to see me. I didn't want to be one of you. You brainwashed my mom. You took my drinking buddy. I wasn't going to be one of you. The speaker's name was Anne. She had black hair, black glasses, and she was wearing a very long black dress. I thought that woman walked on water, and she scared the out of me. And I stood in that back corner. And the only thing I knew to do was to go up to that woman after the meeting because they told me, you have to get a sponsor. So I asked her to be my sponsor. I don't know why. I just did it because that's what they told me to do in the crisis home. In that crisis home, I was released on December 17th, 1989, and the first thing I knew to do was go to the Chula Vista Alano Club. Is there anybody in this room that remembers that? Damn, I'm old. Thanks. I walked into that room, and there he was. Oh, 1989. And he was sitting in the back of the room, and he was wearing a baby blue satin members only jacket. And here's my thought process. I still have alcohol in my system. My eyes are still spinning like a slot machine, and this is my thought process. If he can wear that in 1989, he must have his you-know-what together. You guys all shared in meetings. I'd introduce myself as a newcomer. I did exactly what it was. I wanted to be a part of you. I needed to be a part of you. Because on my own, I'm reckless. I hurt people. I hurt myself. And most of all, I hurt my family. But I desperately needed to be a part of you. So what does this alcoholic do? Remember that guy in the blue satin jacket? He asked me to marry him, so I did. Y'all talked about the ex-wife, the ex-husband, wanted to be a part of, so I got one. We got married. I can't tell you what day, can't tell you what month, don't know. I can tell you his name. That's pretty much all I can tell you. Walking down the aisle, I was in a $4.50 wedding dress that I bought at the San Diego VA Goodwill thrift store, something or another. And believe it or not, that same teddy bear is what I walked down the aisle with. That same teddy bear. I still don't know where I got it. Walking down the aisle, there was something inside of me that said, don't do this. You don't want to do this. And I didn't listen, and I did it. And we got married. And on November 30th of that year, I walked out. And I know today that the only reason that I married that man is because I needed to be a part of you. You all had exes. I had to have one. So I got one. If you're in the room tonight, I apologize. I'll talk to you after the meeting. I don't know where that man is today. I don't know anything about him. So I left that marriage. Okay, I left that, whatever it was. And then I started on the hunt. There was a guy where I worked. I'd already worked there a couple of years. He had a couple of years in the rooms. I'm just getting sober, so what do? I called my mom, and I go, Mom, I met him. Yes, I met him. He's a wonderful, wonderful, kind, loving man. We got married. We stayed sober. I was gifted with a beautiful 6-year-old son from another woman who was a pain in my, you know what? Hated that kid. Hated him. He was spoiled and he was horrible to me. We ended up having another son who was extremely high medical maintenance. He was very, very ill. And this is the belief of the God that I had. Now, if you can close your eyes, if you're visual like I am, he sat in an extremely large pop riveted aluminum chair. Very, very large. And he sat, God sat in this chair, and he had very long robe and a very long beard. Kendall, this will not end up in the variety show at the Roundup. Very long beard and extremely white hair. And right next to that damn chair was a chalkboard. The only name on that chalkboard was mine. Every time I did, I said, I thought, a check mark would go right next to my name. And the God of my understanding was punishing and cruel and mean. And then I'm gifted with this beautiful baby boy. This baby boy was so very sick. I didn't believe in God when I got here, even though y'all told me I had to find one. I just told you about my God. This little boy was very, very sick, and on the day that he was supposed to go in to have surgery, I'm holding him so tight. And the surgeon that's going to save this little boy's life says, you have to give me your son. And I said, no. I'm saying no to a doctor. I'm sober. I'm supposed to know how to handle this. I don't know how to handle crap. And that wonderful, loving husband pried that little boy out of my arms and gave him to the doctor, and that doctor saved that little boy's life. He's still alive, so I'm doing great. That was in Virginia. We moved back to California. I had another wonderful little boy. I am the proud mom of 3 boys. That little boy was also born with extremely high medical maintenance. I'm still sober, I'm going to meetings, I'm doing what I can, what I know to do. And then I want to take my little boy to the zoo. I take my little boy to the zoo, and one of the women that I had met when I first got here, who I wanted to be like, she intimidated the hell out of me, but I wanted to be just like her. I ran into her at the zoo. She said, there's a great women's meeting in El Cajon on Wednesday nights at the Chaldean Church. I'm good. Thank you so very much. I'm going to go about my day. I went to that damn meeting, and I continued to go for a very long time. Now, what I found at that meeting was there was a line of women. Again, I just wanted to be a part of. Just wanted to be one of you. I just wanted to say that I could stay sober, and I've done the 12 steps, and I've looked at the 12 traditions. I wanted that so badly. And there was a beautiful line of women sitting on that side of the wall, and I wanted to be them. I wanted to sit on the side of the wall. And I wanted to share eloquently. I wanted to use those $5 words that I knew nothing about. And I went to that meeting, and my friend Barbara Zyber, who is in the room next door now, had a surprise birthday party for one of those women, and I was invited. And I went up to this woman that I wanted to be my sponsor. It took everything I had. And I said, "Will you please be my sponsor?" What she said to me was, "Let's both pray on it for 24 hours and you call me tomorrow." Now, I don't know what you heard, but what I heard was, "No, you are so effing nuts. There ain't no way I'm going to have anything to do with you." That's not what she said. That is what I heard. I prayed about it to that God with the chalkboard. I did call her the next day, and she said, "I prayed about this, let's do it." Scared me to death. I was terrified of this woman, but dear God, I wanted to be this woman. Every Monday night, I'm living in Ramona, she lives in Santee. Every Monday night, I would drive down the hill, and I would sit in her leather, white leather couch or chair. I don't know why she let me sit in that chair. I'm a mom of three boys. I was never clean. Always chocolate and mud. But she let me sit in that chair, and I can tell you what I was wearing the first night I sat down in that chair. I was wearing a jacket that I had made. I was wearing black pants, and I was wearing my white sneakers. And if you know me, I love my white sneakers. And she started to read to me, because I can't read. That big book is written with really, really big words that I don't understand. And she started reading to me. And she read very slow. And if I didn't understand a word, I could say so. And then I would try and read to her. And the patience that this woman had with me was phenomenal. And we did that every Monday night. And we did that for 2 years. 2 years. That woman did this with me. And in those 2 years, I was gifted with a Sister Bee retreat. I'm still praying to this chalkboard God. And I went to the Sister Bee retreat. And if you know Sister Bee, ooh, aren't we lucky? And she sat me down on a one-on-one, and she said, "What does God look like to you?" And I told her exactly what I told you. She said, "God's not punishing." And we were sitting there, and we were sitting cross-legged. And if you know Sister Bee, she's got a very thick Irish accent. But she uses the F word. I explained to her what my God looked like, and then she asked me, "What do you look like?" And I can tell you exactly what I looked like. I was 6 years old. I had very, very white hair. And I was wearing my all-time favorite dress. And it was a red dress, and it had white little dots all over it. And it had the big puffy sleeves and the wrap around. And she said, picture yourself sitting in someone's lap in that dress. And I did. And that's the God that I got. That God is loving and kind. Between the chalkboard God and the God that Sister B introduced me to, you guys told me I could pick a God of my understanding. Well, I did. It's going to sound really funny to some of you. You young people aren't going to get this, so Google it later. I chose George Burns. I know there's a few young people in here going, "George Burns? Google him." This tall, big glasses, always had a cigar, and a highball of scotch. We're doing business. When we circle up at the end of the night, at the end of the meeting, I don't know what you guys prayed to, but I prayed to George Burns with his highball of scotch and a cigar, his big glasses, and his wife Gracie. That's what I prayed to. It worked. He made it rain in Denver, Colorado, in a 1971 white Ford Pinto. Guess what my first car was? You betcha, 1971 white Ford Pinto. George and I were boogieing. We're doing this thing. And then I met B, and she introduced me to that ever-loving God. Why that's important is because it is my belief, it is my experience, it is my story that the longer I'm sober, the more God evolves. My God of my understanding evolves right along with me. I still want to be a part of you guys. I really, really do. But I'm not getting it. That loving, wonderful husband and I ended up getting a divorce. And the most painful time in my life was during that divorce. Because those three wonderful boys decided to stay with their dad. I'm a stay-at-home mom. I devoted 20 years to that marriage. I devoted 20 years to that marriage, to those children. I raised those children, and I was the PTA president, and don't you know who I am? And they chose to stay with their dad. And for 18 months, my children, we live in a small little town. I think we're up to 7 stoplights now in Ramona. I would watch my children drive down the road. And they wouldn't answer my phone. They wouldn't return a text. I couldn't see them. And I was dying. I was dying. It's just the way it was. They're great kids. They needed to do what they needed to do, as painful as it was. I called my sponsor. She says, why don't you try going to young people's meetings? I said, because I'm old. I had 20 years of sobriety at that time. So I do what my sponsor tells me to do. I will be straight up honest with you because she wants a copy of this tape. I will do it, kicking, screaming, and cussing her out, but I will do it. So I did. I went to young people's meetings and I saw it from a different perspective. I saw it from that young person. It took me out of it. It took my emotions out of it. My children needed to do exactly what it is that they needed to do. And we reunited. They stayed with me for a little bit. And then came that day where my son said, Mom, I can't do this anymore. I need to go live with Dad all the time. I don't know how you handled it, but I called my sponsor, and this is how the conversation went. Judy, he can't stay with me anymore. I'm going to the Stage Stop Liquor. I'm buying a bottle of Grey Goose vodka, and I am drinking today. And my sponsor, in her infinite wisdom, said, Dawn, we don't drink on Tuesdays. Because she's going to hear this. I won't tell you exactly what I said after that statement. I went to work the next day. I called her after work and I said, Judy, I'm going to Stage Stop Liquor. I'm buying a bottle of Grey Goose vodka and I am drinking today. She said, Dawn, we don't drink on Wednesdays. Why don't you pray? I told you, I do things kicking and screaming. So here's exactly what I did. I put on some clothes. I put on a dress. It was inside out. It was backwards. And I went to the dollar store in Ramona on Main Street. Yes, I went out in public like this at 20 years sober. And I walked into the dollar store and I bought 20 plates. And I took every one of those 20 plates and I went home and I threw them into a trash bin. Because I didn't know what to do with the emotions that I had no clue what to do with. I don't know how you guys do it, but when I'm in the middle of an emotional storm, there's a little boy back there. I'm trying really hard not to cuss. I don't know how to identify those emotions. I have to work through the emotions so that I can identify them, so I know what to do, so that I know what tool to pick up. So that I don't drink. I threw all 20 plates into a trash bin. I took wood for a wood-burning stove, and I threw the wood into the trash bin to break the plates. That wasn't enough, and I did it again. And I called Jude's, and I told her what I did, and this is what she said to me. Why don't you pray? I will not use the words because she will hear this. And I went into my bedroom in my clothes, inside out and backwards, and I got on my knees and I prayed. And I continued to pray. And the women in Ramona saved my ass. I was told you can't save your ass and your face at the exact same time. I chose my ass. And every night when I wanted to text my children, I would text the lady in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, and she would text me back as if it were my son. Because you see, I'm dying. I'm dying. And a drink was an option because I just didn't want to feel those emotions. I didn't want to feel the pain. And this woman, ever so graciously and lovingly, would text me back as if it were my son. My children came around. The divorce is done. The children came around. All three of my boys are speaking to me. They answer my phone calls. They will return a text. I am also a grandmother of a 5-year-old beautiful, beautiful, red-headed, spoiled child. The reason these stories are important, and I think recovery is far more important. Our drunkalogs are great. We all need them so that we can get here. But there are a lot of times that I need to know how Jonathan got through something. I need to know how you got through a divorce. I need to know how painful it was and that there's an option outside of a drink. I need to know this. I started dating again. Don't do that. I wasn't ready. It hurt like hell when we had to part ways. I thought I was going to die. And then someone said, why don't you? I really have a hard time with that statement. That just hit me just now. Why don't you? Someone said, listen to this speaker. And it was Tom Brady Jr., Emotional Sobriety. I listened to this. Because see, after that breakup, I didn't want to feel the emotions. I didn't want to feel those feelings. A drink was an option because it always is an option. I just don't choose that option. And I listened to Tom Brady Jr., and Tom Brady Jr. and I, boy, we got through some good work. My emotional sobriety came back. I started seeing my sponsor again. I started talking to my sponsor again. Life is grand. Life goes on. I'm still in the big book with the wonderful ladies that I have an honor of working with. If you ever want to know about yourself, become a sponsor. How am I doing on time?
You got about 12, 13 minutes left.
Hot diggity! First thing I do is I crack myself up. Life goes on. You know that mom that you all brainwashed? That woman walks on water. My mom is my everything. You see, all those times that we were drinking, I hurt that woman. While she was holding my hair while I'm praying to that porcelain god, my mom was there. I'm out doing stuff. She has no idea where I'm at. I'm hurting my mom. Today, that woman is the woman that saved my life. She's the one who picked me up on December 2nd, 1989. December 3rd, I celebrated 30 years of sobriety. I'm 55 years old. I've been sober more than I've been half. Let's go half. There's a lot of things that I've done that I didn't share with you in my drinking, because if we're in a room and of Alcoholics Anonymous on a Saturday night, not one of you do the Glenn thing. We want a solution. We want recovery. We want to know that we're not alone. You see, I'm a part of you now. I own you. If you see me on the street, if you see me at the roundup, stop me. Because I'm a part of you, and you're a part of me. And that God that had the chalkboard, he had to go to a land far, far away. Where I see God is in that newcomer that stands up and takes all the guts they have to stand up and say, my name is, and I'm an alcoholic. That's where God is. God is when Linda Lee hit the Taco Bell. That's funny stuff. That's really funny. When families reunite. When your best friend sits here, we drive all the way down from Ramona. Thank you. That's God. When we don't drink, that's God. I have a great, great honor of sponsoring some of the best ladies in the world. And they have taught me more about me and about life than I'll ever repay them. I can't. That is the greatest gift. I have the great honor of being a trustee of the San Diego Spring Roundup, as Sam is the chair for this year. And it was a Friday night speaker several years ago. And she's 4'11". God, I hope you guys remember her. Her name was Jennifer. And for her to speak at the podium on the stage, she had to stand on a milk box. And it was a beautiful, beautiful story. And the one thing that she said that I will never, ever forget. She said, Alcoholics Anonymous is monkey see, monkey do. Don't forget, you're the monkey. I got to do exactly what you do. I need to know when you hurt. I need to know when you're happy. I have to. I'm a part of you. That little girl that couldn't be a part of anything because she was short, fat, and dumb. I'm a part of you. I own my recovery. And I will own you as a friend in recovery. I have the great honor of telling you I did celebrate 30 years of sobriety. I'd also like to tell you that my mom celebrated 33 years of sobriety this May. February, my brother celebrated 10 years of sobriety. And August of this year, my sister celebrated 2 years of sobriety. My family has been reunited just like the big book says. I don't have a fear of people. I love going into stores. Wherever I go, I meet a new friend. That's just who I am. Those promises come true. Life isn't always beautiful. That gentleman I was telling you about, we parted ways, and I thought, I'm just going to be single for the rest of my life. I'm okay with it. My mom's been doing it for, I don't know, 100 years. I can do it. I was not prepared for this wonderful, loving man to walk into my world in recovery. He's a great guy. He's taught me more about myself and more about the human race and how to love unconditionally and how to be present. I'd like to tell you a story of a great lady. She drank a lot. She got into a lot of scrapes. It was really, really ugly. And then this angel called her mom, picked her up, took her someplace, and left her in the safest place she could. You see, I didn't feel great when I was six. I didn't feel great when I was being made fun of. But today, I feel great. I'm not 6'2". I'm not Einstein. I'm 5'5". I'm 55 years old. And I have 30 years of sobriety because I wanted to be a part of you. I wanted what you had. And the only way I know how to do that is you tell me what to do, and I'm going to do it. Because I don't want to be left out. I want to be in the middle of the herd. Thank you, Sam.